Today on Real Life Radio.
Money lies to us. Or should I say we allow influence and power and position to lie to us. We begin to think differently because we've got something.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about Just Church. It's a 100% free event on Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. We'll gather as a large community of believers to just worship and to just study God's Word. Register now at justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What Does Your God Value? Part 1. You know, the Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 16, we'll consider the value of money. You see, the wallet and the heart really cannot be separated. Jesus now targets the heart of the Pharisees in relation to the Word of God. They were highly esteemed among the people, but not so much in the sight of God. Why? Because, well, they measured one's value based on wealth, possessions, and power. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus offers the value and assurance of salvation, but he met with a lot of criticism. Even today, when we take a stand for Christ, criticism will often be a sign of the core value of the heart. Now with his message called, What Does Your God Value? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
So when we talked about what's in your wallet, Jesus was showing us, really, when you look at the things that you own and what God has given you, how much do you own those things to the glory of God, or how much do those things own you to the destruction of your own life? The Bible warns us, Jesus warns us, he's been hitting the people in the crowd right between their eyes there regarding their priorities and what was acceptable to God and all, and it's very important. Before we get into this study, it's entitled, by the way, What Does God Value? I'm going to ask you to write that down. What does your God value? I'm going to ask you to underline the word your. You might say, well, Jack, don't we all have the same God? The answer is absolutely not. We do not have the same God. What does your God value? And maybe for some of you in your life, that G, capital G on God, should be a lowercase g. Or maybe an S on the end. What does your God's value? The very things that you live for. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on Wall Street. On earth. Where moth and rust and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do break in and steal. Verse 21, for you, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, in these verses, 15 to 31 of chapter 16, Jesus targets their hearts in relationship to their evaluation of the Word of God. I emailed somebody this week and I said, how are you doing in light of the financial crisis? Because I know this person is heavily invested in their retirement years in the stock market. And the email that came back and said, basically, we're not doing so good. And then I emailed right back, remember, God's on the throne. And then he sent an email back and said, but will he pay my mortgage? And then I emailed him back saying, he already did. He did it at the cross. And I sent John 14, verses 1 to 3, that in my Father's house are many mansions. I thank God for that. You and I may lose our homes, but in heaven, our Father has for us many mansions. And Jesus said, I go there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And that's very important. What does your God value should be the very thing that you and I value. Because these Pharisees that Jesus was speaking to had come to the place of measuring one's value based upon wealth, possessions, and power. You need to keep that in mind. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:9, for those who desire to be rich, do you desire to be rich? You better count the cost of that first. For those who desire, the word we get in English is lust. Those who are lusting to be rich, always thinking about being rich, fall into temptation, and it's a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in the perdition of perdition and destruction. For the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil, for which some, having strayed from their faith in the greediness, have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How relevant is God's word today in the crisis in which you and I are living in? It is all relevant. And God's word is relevant, church, regarding human worth. Make no mistake about it. The Bible says in 1 John 3:16 says, "But this we know, love, because he, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren," that's one another. "For whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother or sister in need and shuts up his heart from him, how can the love of God dwell in him?" Boy, I tell you, Christian, we need each other more than ever before as we see the things going on in this world that are very, very alarming. But listen, how relevant is God's word to us and for us? Point number one in our study this morning, Luke 16, beginning at verse 15, it is this. Mark it down. What does your God value? You need to take inventory. The question is this. Is it the offer of salvation? Does your God value the offer of salvation? Can money say to you, "I'll save you"? Money lies to us. Or should I say, we allow influence and power and position to lie to us. We begin to think differently. Because we've got something. And now America, not only America, Asia, Europe, people are running for the hills. People are storing up food. People are buying water. People are concerned. Why? Be very careful about what you put your trust in. Because can your God offer you salvation? Very important issue. This way, the Lord offers the assurance of salvation in the Bible. He does throughout the book, the entire book of the Bible. Verse 15. He offers assurance. And he said, Jesus said to them, that's the disciples and the crowd, but most specifically, the Pharisees who were there. He said, "You are those who justify yourselves before men. But God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Will you all mark that? I know it's early, but get your pen or pencil out. And you need to write that down. You need to mark that. First of all, Jesus indicts them. He says, "You're the ones who justify yourself, Pharisees." Number two, here's a big problem. What you esteem highly, God thinks it stinks. He thinks it's rotten. You guys, God doesn't think like we think. He doesn't do what we do. It's not difficult to see why the Pharisees were so offended at what Jesus had been saying. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." Wow, that word woe means damned be you. You're on your way to the pit unless you change your direction, scribe and Pharisees, hypocrites. The word hypocrite means to wear two masks, to change your mask. You're wearing a mask in this world. Jesus said, "Shame on you, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin," these are herbs, spices, "and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." I love the way Jesus talks to these religious snub-nosed scribes and Pharisees. I was going to say proud, puffed up faced scribes and Pharisees. These guys gloated in their righteousness. "Oh, we tithe. But they didn't do justice. They didn't do the things of God. They didn't love people. They saw themselves different from other people, not needing the Savior. Jesus wants to give you the assurance of salvation. Christian, today you need to know that you're saved. Did you know that? The Bible teaches it. You need to know it. Well, I hope I am. Hope's not good enough. The Bible didn't say, "Well, someday you ought to hope that you're saved." The Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. How can we witness to somebody who's like this man I read in the paper who put a gun to his head? How can we give him hope? I mentioned Wednesday night how I would have loved to have knocked on his door right before he did all that and said, "Wait a minute, there's hope." your God of mammon that Jesus has been teaching us about these last few weeks cannot save you. Money cannot give you any assurances. I believe it's the mercy of God that's waking America up and knocking down its idol of money. Yes, people are suffering. We're all suffering. But I think it's just the beginning. Until I believe, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, we need to seek him. This is very, very amazing stuff because Jesus is speaking to them about the core value of their hearts. It was all about power, it was all about wealth, and it was all about their positions. In Luke 6:26, Jesus said, "Woe to you when men speak well of you, for so did they, the false prophets who were before you." We need to be very, very careful because here's what happened. The scribes and Pharisees were getting hit right between the eyes by Jesus himself with conviction. And when someone's convicted, listen, when someone's convicted, they will criticize and attack. Jesus is being attacked by them. Do you remember last week? The Pharisees got so mad that their upper lip and nose turned up. Do you remember that? Were you here? They were angry at his words and their lip went up and their nose went up. They were so furious. They got convicted because position and power and wealth was their God, and he nailed them. And so, that's a very dangerous thing because in that world of temporal assurances, there's a tendency to criticize those who point out the truth because you don't like it. You'll attack it because the Holy Spirit's at work. Jesus said, "You are those." Notice how subtle he is not. Jesus said, "You are those who justify yourselves before men." Beware of someone who justifies themselves all the time. Beware of the person who cannot say, "You know what, I was wrong," or "I'm sorry." Beware of the person who's always justifying themselves. "Well, I did it because you," have you ever heard that before? "Well, the reason why I flew off the handle was because you." That is one of the greatest manifestations of pride and an indicator how far a person's heart is from God. A very dangerous thing. In John 5:40, Jesus said, "But you are not willing to come to me that you might have eternal life." The Pharisees wouldn't come. Why? Because they were justifying themselves. Someone who justifies themselves see no sense in having God. By the way, the Bible teaches us clearly that the Lord hates injustice. And these Pharisees were guilty of injustice. Injustice happens when we are focused on self-justification. We begin to think, "Well, there's nobody, you know, like me. It's too bad other people were not like me." I thank God, you know, think about that. We need to be like Jesus. The Lord offers assurance.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Secondly, under this point, is it the offer of salvation he gives? Opportunity. The Lord offers opportunity of salvation. Listen to this. In verse 16, this is awesome. Bible students, mark this down. Jesus said, you know, there's a lot of talk going around right now. And here's what they said. Forget the Old Testament. It's the Old Testament. Let's just talk about what Jesus said. In fact, I didn't want to talk about what Paul said. I only want to talk about what Jesus said. Well, we can always talk about what Jesus said, absolutely, positively. But the truth of the matter is, if we listen to what Jesus said, we've got to listen to the entire Bible. Why? Listen to what he said in verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. That's John the Baptist. Write it in your margins. John the Baptist. Now, John didn't attend a Baptist church. John the Baptist was John who baptized people. The Baptist church named themselves after John the Baptist. John did not go to a Baptist church. He just baptized people. The law, the prophets were until John. Interesting statement. Since that time, that is from what Jesus is saying, since the advent of Moses until John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone's pressing into it. I love these two words. To preach is to announce the evangel, to proclaim the good news. You say, "Jack, wait a minute. The Old Testament, Jesus is saying, If you read Moses from Genesis 1:1 all the way through to the advent of John the Baptist, you will get the gospel. Doesn't the Bible say in the book of Galatians that God preached the gospel to Abraham? Wow, how do you do that? Old Testament. Old Testament. Did you know that a Jew who will not read the New Testament can pick up the Old Testament and find Christ in the Old Testament? By the way, any of you doubt that, I'd like to take you on. I'll meet you in the foyer after service. I can bring you to Jesus in the Old Testament. I'm not boasting. God wrote a good book. And from Genesis to Malachi, I can show you that Jesus Christ is Savior. So Jesus is saying, hey, listen up, Pharisees, scribes, you guys know the book. From the law, the prophets, and until John, the kingdom of God has been preached, announced, proclaimed, and look at this, and everyone is pressing into it. Jesus is saying, listen, look around. Now, you and I live 2,000 years later. It's pretty pathetic because it's very apathetic in the world today. When the gospel was going out, Jesus was saying to the scribes and Pharisees, man, look around. People are pressing in to hear this message. You know what? I'm convinced of this. I do mean to insult every one of us, starting with me right now with what I'm about to say. We've got more technology. We've got more enlightenment. And I think we are dumber now and we don't see half as clear as people did 100 years ago. We've got all the gadgets and all the toys and all the stuff, and we are getting dumber by the moment. Because if you'll think about it, people, if you know the gospel, you will not only press into it, you'll be like one of those attendants on the subway trying to push people in because this train is bound for glory. And everybody ought to be getting into it. Yeah, no, I'm not interested in religion. God's not interested in religion either. Do you know Jesus Christ? Jesus is standing before a religious audience, scribes and Pharisees, and he's saying, hey, look, open your eyes, man. From Moses to John the Baptist, the message goes forth and people love the message. May God call churches to once again preach the gospel. Maybe the world will want to press in again. Maybe the world will want to channel through the doors and say, hey, tell me about Jesus. Like the wise men came and said, we have come to what? Worship him. Amazing. Opportunity. God has provided opportunity upon opportunity over and over again. Technically, the word in the Greek to press means, listen, to force your way in, to lean, to exert yourself, to violently press yourself to get inside, to crowd in. Isn't that a great word? People ought to be crowding in to heaven. Why does Jesus stress this point? He's saying to them, read Moses, you'll find me. Read the prophets, you'll find me. Listen to what John the Baptist said, and you'll find me. John 10:41, John the Baptist performed no signs and miracles, says John 10:41. But all these things that John did speak about this man, Jesus, were true. And the Bible goes on there to say, verse 42, and many believed in Christ. Church, jot it down, make mention of it, or make note of it in your mind. From Moses to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, by the way, theologically, was the last prophet of the Old Testament. Did you know that? John the Baptist was not the first prophet of the New Testament. He was the last prophet of the Old Testament. And John makes his announcement. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Matthew 11:11 says, assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, among those born of women, there is none greater or none risen one greater than John the Baptist. Listen. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven, that is the church, is greater than John. For from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence. But the violent, listen, take it by force. For all the prophets and the laws, all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. See, Jack, what does that verse mean? The violent take it by force. Are you ready for this? You guys, I hope you're awake. I'm sorry I keep pounding on you, but I've been awake for a long time and I'm pumped up about this. I'm excited about this because I come from a long line of preachers. I'm not telling you my dad was one or my grandpa was one. There's nobody as far as I know in my family who's who did what I'm doing right now. I'm talking about a long line of preachers according to my life in the Spirit. John the Baptist, Moses, everybody in between, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Noah, Job, you talk about it. The Bible announces that Christ is Messiah, that Christ is Savior, that the opportunity to come to know Christ is easily found in the Bible if you'll just read it. A lot of people criticizing it. A lot of people angry. Read the book. And the amazing thing to realize is this. John the Baptist, who was the last representative of the Old Testament, the least believer in the New Testament, the Bible announces, is greater than John. Why? Because first of all, you and I have not seen Jesus like John saw Jesus. John physically saw him and believed in him. You and I have not seen Jesus and we believe in him. That's great faith. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Raise your hand. Look at you. I could almost feel just now a smile on God's face, if you think about it. The Bible says, and whom you have not seen, you love. What an amazing bunch of people you are, that we love God and yet we've not even seen him. Jesus is saying, anyone who can hear Moses all the way through to John will seek to come into the kingdom. Church, I want to give you a wicked little secret of Satan's. Are you ready? It's this: Satan hates you and he hates God. Now, he cannot inflict pain on God. He can't attack heaven. Satan is only an angel, a fallen angel. Now, listen, there's only one way for Satan to diminish or make no effect what Jesus Christ did at the cross, the gospel, the kingdom of God. There's only one way, there's only one thing, is to keep people from believing in what Jesus did. If Satan can affect the heart of God at all, it's by Satan blinding those who do not believe. Think about it. He's a defeated foe. So instead of him just packing up his little satanic suitcase and going to hell, no, he runs around trying to keep people blind from ever coming to Christ. You might see her this morning, I don't care about this. When are you going to be done? I can smell the barbecue outside cooking breakfast. I want to go. Satan's blinding you. You're not interested in the things of heaven. Jesus said, read the prophets, read John. Listen to them. Satan's secret is this, to keep you blind. 1 John 5:10 says, 1 John 5:10, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, inside. He who does not believe in God has made him, God, a liar. Wow. If you're not trusting Christ, you're calling God a liar, the Bible says, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Four things I want you to remember. If you're rejecting Jesus Christ as the Son of God, it is this. By rejecting him, you're also rejecting the ministry of John the Baptist. You're also rejecting the ministry of the prophets. You're also rejecting the ministry of Moses. Just know that. You see, Jack, why are you pushing this? Because by the end of our service, someone is going to be thinking, or you'll hear someone say sometime in your life, I don't believe in a God who sends people to hell. How many of you heard that? Raise your hand. I can't believe in your God who sends people to hell. Did you know the Bible says nowhere that he sends people to hell? That's a bad rap. We're getting a bad rap. God's getting a bad rap. The Bible's being lied about. Nowhere does the Bible say that God just wakes up one day, yawns, and says, you know what? I'm just going to cook people. I feel like a barbecue myself. I'm just going to barbecue people. No way. You've got to get to hell on your own choice. You got to work hard to get there, my friend. I'm not kidding. It's not an easy thing to do. Jesus is saying, scribes, Pharisees, self-righteous justifiers, proud people, you need to think eternally in your mind.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, What Does Your God Value? Part 1. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs here, and I am personally inviting you to come and join us for Just Church. You heard me right. In Southern California, mark your calendars, September 8th at 7:30 in the evening, we are going to host Just Church at the Honda Center. We're going to have just worship, just the Bible, everybody, just us getting together. That's why we're calling it Just Church. Friends, listen, you just come. Everything else has been paid for. We've handled everything. You don't have to pay for parking. You don't have to pay for anything. You just come. And if you are right here locally in the greater Los Angeles area, or maybe you're hearing us right now in New York City, why don't you make plans to join us September 8th, Friday night, for Just Church. To learn more, go to justchurchsocal.com, and I'll see you at Just Church.
It's Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Register now at justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.